Today is Habakkuk part two. It's a big day. But first, are you guys ready for a cool story? Please say yes. Yes. All right. I had the honor of speaking on Super Bowl Sunday, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, if you remember, if you were here. And I told the story of how Dr. Sam Huddleston, his father was a pastor, and he went to visit him in prison. Do you recall the story? Well, if you weren't here, he asked his dad, "Dad, aren't you supposed to be at church? It's Sunday." And his dad answered, "I am in church, son." Well, guess who called me on Easter Sunday? Guess who called me? None other than the legend himself, the assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Dr. Sam Huddleston, on the evening of Easter Sunday. I said, "I just talked about you at church today. I told how the story about how your father came to visit you in jail." And he was absolutely silent. So I'm thinking, was I not supposed to share that story? Did he not recall that story? My mind starts racing. And then, after a long pause, Dr. Sam said, "I just told that story to my wife yesterday. Ricky Spencer never had a visitor." Dr. Sam does not call me on the exact day I mentioned him on my Easter message, and he calls on a holiday. He just told his wife that exact same story the day before. It was so cool, I had to share. My jaw just dropped. He's like, "I just told my wife that story yesterday." Too cool. So Pastor Ryan, he's at a work event today. He's suffering. I said, "You're suffering at a 5-star restaurant." He said, "Honey, it's 4.5. So, and then he called me on the way, and he was on the patio seating, and the sun was in his eyes, and he's like, "I have to go grab my sunglasses," and I'm not that sympathetic, like, oh, how sad, the sun's in your eyes, and you're at a 5-star restaurant, but he is having to entertain clients today for work, so he sends his love. Sorry he's not here, but he always listens, and he's here in spirit. So, today is a very special day. It is part two of Habakkuk. And if you missed part one, it is online, it's on YouTube, it's on the church app. I spoke on January 14th, 2024. So my first ever two-part message. A little space between the messages though, January and now April. But nonetheless, part two is here and it's a good day. So this book is in the Old Testament. It's just three short chapters, just three chapters in this book. But really, one's for the record books. I really love Habakkuk. I cannot wait to meet this guy one day in heaven. A little recap since it's been a while. Habakkuk was a prophet. His name doesn't appear anywhere else in the Bible, in the scriptures, but his Bible references from this book do. This book contains an extended dialogue between the prophet and God. Pretty important, the prophet and God. The times then sound very similar to what we are experiencing. Why does a righteous God wait so long to punish evil? Have you ever wondered that? God, there's evil everywhere. Why aren't you wiping them out? You're a just God. You're righteous. His answers and ways may not be what we expect. God was going to use a group, the Babylonians, who were doing way worse to punish the tribe of Judah. That just doesn't seem fair to us. You're going to let someone who's doing way worse annihilate us? It doesn't make sense in our natural mind. God wants us to come to him with our struggles and our doubts. He's big enough. He's big enough. He can handle it all. Habakkuk started channeling his frustration, his complaints, his questions to prayers. It's the best place to go is on your knees. In fact, my brother said, "Did you know Mr. T was a Christian?" I said, "Yeah." He spoke at my church in San Jose once, and he said, "Cancer brought me to my knees, but what a great place to be on my knees so I could pray." And it was kind of like, that was my Mr. T impersonation. Thank you. Ryan's better at impersonations, but I'm trying. But he channeled his frustrations, his complaints, his questions right into prayers and then reassurance. So prayers to reassurance. To who God is, and then he ultimately was praising. What a journey Habakkuk had. Frustration, complaints, questions, to then prayers, to then reassurance of who God is, and then praise. Like I've told you guys before, I love tangible. Give me the steps. Those are the steps right there. Reassurance to then praise. I love it. His heart was in the right place, and he waited for God to answer him. He waited for God to answer him. Going to the watchtower, a special place, until he heard from the Lord directly. Habakkuk, again, didn't ask for escape. He knew that they would endure suffering and punishment. They didn't get to escape it. A lot of times we're like, well, we want to escape this, God. I don't like it. Let me get off this exit. But he didn't. He didn't ask for the escape. But he did ask God to be merciful. Do not let them get completely wiped out. We don't want to get completely wiped out. Please show mercy, God. The Babylonians showed no mercy. There was real fear among them. Have you ever had real fear? Real fear. There was real fear. The Babylonians are going to wipe them out, and they're fierce. He had to trust God. The enemy was huge. It was big, bigger than he could handle. This prophet is helping the godly in this book, which is different from Jonah and the other prophets that go to the wicked and want them to repent. This book is to help the godly, and that encourages me. A book just to help the godly. So we talked in part one, what is faith? Reliance, loyalty, complete trust, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Have you been through situations where it doesn't make sense? I have. You have to have reliance, loyalty, and complete trust, even when it doesn't make sense. Faith as small as a mustard seed. Hope, confident trust with the expectation of fulfillment, going beyond our unpleasant experiences to the joy of knowing God. And waiting. You will be waiting. There will be lots of seasons of waiting. Have you ever had to wait? I used to teach preschool, and the director I was with, she would just line the three-year-olds up and just make them wait to go outside. And this person said, that is so brutal. They're 3 years old. She said, they're going to have to wait at the DMV. They're going to have to wait at the doctor's office. They're going to have to wait at a restaurant. We're just teaching them early. But she taught them how to wait, even at three. We will be waiting. There are lots of times we're waiting. Habakkuk had to place his faith in God's decisions at a time that looked really, really bleak. The Babylonians, like I said, were fierce. They trusted in themselves, their conquest. They were more evil than Judah and were still going to capture Judah. And Habakkuk had to wait, to long suffer, to endure hardship. It wasn't a fun time. Does any of that sound good? No. He has to wait, to long suffer, and to endure hardship. It wasn't fun. Habakkuk 1, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what he says. Are we but fish to be caught and killed? Look at how he's like such visuals. Are we just fish to be caught and killed? Are we but creeping things that have no leader to defend from their enemies? Must we be strung up on their hooks and dragged out in their nets while they rejoice? Verse 17, will you let them get away with this forever? That's quite a visual. Habakkuk had questions. The Apostle Paul was also inspired, and he quoted the prophet not once, not twice, but three times in Hebrews, Galatians, and Philippians. Do you want to know where? It's in part one. So you got to go back to part one and listen. But clearly, Habakkuk deserves more fanfare than he gets. And I'm doing my part. I'm giving him a part two. So Habakkuk 2, verse 4, the righteous will live by their faith. The human response. The human response. The righteous will live by their faith. It's our job. Believing, trusting, obedience, attachment, dependency. Obedience, attachment, dependency. The righteous will live by their faith. The God who is all-powerful, that parted the seas, will protect and provide for his people. Habakkuk remembers who he's dealing with. Who he's dealing with. Who has his life. In Habakkuk 3, verse 8 and 9, was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Was it in anger that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? Listen to what he says. No, you were sending your chariots of salvation. You were commanding your weapons of power. Habakkuk begins to talk in faith before he starts walking in faith. He starts remembering. Our words frame our reality. They frame our reality. He's walking in faith after he starts talking in it, remembering who he has in his corner and his great deeds. He began to talk in faith from negative. Are we just going to get crushed? Are you just going to let us die and get hooked on their hooks like fish? To then speaking positively about God's power, it's truly the best distraction. The best distraction. He's got a situation, and what does he do? He starts remembering that those are, he has the chariots of salvation, your weapons of power. He starts remembering. It's such a good word. Remember how he's taken care of you. So, does anyone from part one remember what Habakkuk means in Hebrew? It means embrace. Embrace. Habakkuk means embrace in Hebrew. Are you guys big on that one word trend for the year? What's your one word? People come up with it at the beginning of the year. My one word is hope. My one word is that. Well, I started seeing this everywhere in the first couple weeks of the new year. Embrace, embrace, embrace. I'm like, this is crazy. I have been talking about Habakkuk and embrace. So I'm going with it. I'm going with it. Maybe it just gives me another reason to say his name all the time, Habakkuk. But he did, after all, he wrote on tablets from God, just like Moses. Moses gets all the fanfare. Habakkuk also was told by God to write on tablets. I've seen the word embrace everywhere this year, so I'm going with it. I want to embrace whatever this year holds, whatever this day holds. I can learn. I want to learn. In hardships, I'm switching my attitude to embrace. That's so important, to switch our attitudes to embrace. What can I lean in? What can I learn? It's not always pleasant, right? To be stretched. We can't receive a lot with clenched hands. In fact, when you're with a kid, right, it's mine, mine, give me, give me. If I'm always clenched, I don't want to embrace, I'm not going to receive much. So this year, I'm trying to embrace more. What do you have, God? What can I do? More embracing in 2024. Giving more hugs to our loved ones. Let's greet people at the door with hugs. In fact, researchers say 4 to 12 hugs per day helps reduce our stress levels, bond, trigger oxytocin, improves our self-esteem, improves our mental health, it comforts us. It's truly a universal language, isn't it? A hug, an embrace. Are you letting God embrace you? Are you letting God embrace you today? What can you embrace more of this year? Helping others? My friend Jessica, I've mentioned her before. I truly believe she's an angel of the Lord, like pretty much solid in my mind. So I had this remarkable story she told me this week, and I, of course, had to share it with you. She wanted to embrace the day. She prayed and said, God, lead my day. Let me be your servant. And within the first hour of praying that, she took her husband to the chiropractor. And she heard this voice tell her, go look at that car by the dumpster. She did. She thought it was a little odd, like, okay. She gets out of her car. She goes by the dumpster and sees a baby with a wool blanket on him with the windows rolled up. Obviously, she calls 911. The paramedics get the baby out of the car, and the baby's dripping in sweat. They said that that baby would have been dead. The paramedics told her directly. They get an IV in the baby, their oxygen mask on the baby. They said the baby would have been dead within hours if she hadn't found him, like probably with like quick. So she was just embracing the day. That's all she did. She was obedient with open hands and an open heart and an open mind. That four-month-old was left to die, but God, left to die, but God. Amen. The chiropractor opened especially that day for Jessica's husband on a Saturday. Jessica said, he's not open on a Saturday. He opened especially for my husband. The baby was left in the exact parking lot that Jessica could find him. How often do our days start like Jessica's prayer? Just, Lord, use me, use me. We mostly have our to-do list for God, don't we? I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. And then bless it, God. And she just had an open slate. God, use me. She literally saved a baby. She's like, did I tell you all the story about how we saved a baby? I'm like, no, please tell me. No, you did save a baby. Remarkable. God is good, and that baby has good plans. May God bless that baby mightily. What the enemy wanted to kill and the parents wanted to destroy, God has great plans for that baby in the name of Jesus. I think the baby's still in the hospital, making sure they're, you know, he's healthy and everything. 4 months old. 4 months old. There is so much to improve and learn in life, isn't there? I'm always amazed. So much to learn and improve on in life. To be constantly growing in areas of our life, even just being present in the moment. We have our to-do list, what we're going to do. Just being present in the moment. Just learning and embracing. So much to learn and grow in this life. Our health, our attitudes, our finances, our knowledge, our obedience. Whatever list you might have. I knew I wanted to grow in my word this year. In fact, we get bored in life if we're not learning and growing. I want to embrace, to take and receive gladly, eagerly, accept willingly, living with deeper faith, knowing that God will work everything for our good. It's so reassuring. It's so reassuring. Just like the song we sang, he has good plans for us. He has good plans for us. He has good plans for that baby. Let God get the glory. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God sees everything. There are times I want to rest and know that just he is God. I am not, he is God, and that's enough. That is more than enough. Like Habakkuk said, it's his power. It was his power. It's his salvation. Last time for part one of Habakkuk, I shared how I got my last teaching position and the miracle of my name in the principal's prayers at 3 a.m. And my resume ended up on her nightstand. I dedicated that story to Gary, but he wasn't here for it. So, but you get a new story. You get a new story, Gary. Okay, so some of you have asked where I work, and I say, yeah, that's a fun story. I'll share it one day. So here's a quick story of faith, waiting, and God's miracles. After my last teaching job, where my resume was on the nightstand of the principal's office and in her house, after that year, we moved to L.A. in 2019. We relocated to Los Angeles for Ryan's job. So we were all pretty excited. L.A., ooh, a new place. We're by the beach, Disneyland. We were all really, you know, anticipating it. So before we moved, Ryan and my son would travel to L.A. They would start looking at apartments near Ryan's work. And we didn't know much about Los Angeles and the city and where to live. It was kind of ambiguous. We had no idea. We got advice. We got good advice about where to live, where to look at. Aren't you good, like grateful for good counsel? I am, because that made a night and day difference for us. Ask for good counsel. So especially when you're moving to a city like Los Angeles, you probably want some good counsel. So the boys ended up picking a beautiful new construction apartment 3.4 miles from the Pacific Ocean. Clouds would come off the ocean right by our apartment window. We always had our windows open for fresh air. We had this beautiful park with succulents all up a hill. We had fire pits. We had a farmer's market right on property every Thursday. Hammocks, tennis courts, basketball courts. It was a business park. We got to enjoy the amenities, the saltwater pools. It was just luxurious, like beyond luxurious. Security guards, you felt safe. 2 miles from LAX. Close to the 405, we lived in a slice of LA heaven. It was glorious. So the apartment the boys chose was also on the same street as Pepperdine and their graduate campus. So after we settled in, we're walking the neighborhood, and Ryan encouraged me to apply at Telemundo. I said, babe, I don't speak Spanish. Like, that's not going to work. So then he said, well, there's Pepperdine. Look at Pepperdine. So I'm looking online, and there's this perfect job description, and it seemed like a perfect fit. I'm like, yeah, I can do that, because it's a little intimidating. You're going to a new state, new industry. I'm like, I could do that. That's easy. I could do that. So I applied. God is so good. We just arrived in the area, and soon after, the position I applied for closed. It was a brand new position that they had just created. So my boss had resumes fanned out before him. The job closed, they printed them all out. She said, okay, doctor, so-and-so, who do you want? Would you believe they're fanned out? He points to my resume. He has several selections. He says, I want her. So, one piece of paper. That's all it took. One piece of paper. I waited for his call. We had an appointment set. I was like, guys, be quiet. I'm getting an appointment. I'm having a talk with this guy at Pepperdine. He's going to call me. Well, he missed our first interview. So I emailed him, Dr. So-and-so, does tomorrow work better for you? He was so embarrassed that he missed our first meeting that he had been traveling and he totally spaced it. He forgot. He loved how I handled it, and he knew I was the assistant for him. I did nothing. He was the one who missed the meeting, the interview. I did nothing. He pointed out my paper. He missed the interview, and he loved how I handled it and knew I was for him. I talked to a few people later about my hiring story, and they said, nobody in LA gets hired like that. It's true. From what I've seen, everyone has several candidates competing. It's pretty fierce. It's who you know. It's who you're liked by. It's all your educational background, credentials. I go to UCLA. I'm from USC. I'm from Stanford. They're really big on that. And multiple rounds of interviews. I had none of that. I told my supervisors that I was still a mother of young kids and I wanted to be a good one. My bosses were fully supportive. They had kids of their own. They were like, you can have a total flexible schedule. We don't care as long as the work gets done. Again, it was a perfect fit. It was perfect. My teaching contract ended from the last school I taught in Vegas. They pay you through the summer. My contract ended July 31st. My hiring date was with Pepperdine was August 5th. 5 days. One crosswalk separated us. It was a lovely commute. Most people in LA are commuting so far. I would literally see the gridlock on the 405 because I could see the freeway from our apartment, and I was walking one crosswalk to the campus. That is a gift in LA, to be able to walk to work. Some days I could even take my daughter to work. It was lovely. Here she is, a fifth grader, and she's sitting, or sixth grader at that time, and here she is sitting at Pepperdine. I was like, God, you're so good, so good. So when I started, they launched me out to the depths. They're launching me so far immediately. I was absolutely living on faith. There was this big learning curve. I didn't meet one of my supervisors for an entire month. Not a month. I was just thrown into so many scenarios of a very fast-paced school and multi-departments and no training, but was made stronger because of it. There was this brand new position. No one could train me, but they needed my help. I didn't feel strong. I felt lost. It was so stressful, but I never said no. I didn't have the full picture yet. I didn't have it yet, but I never said no. I did everything they needed. Anything they needed. My hands, my heart, my brain were wide open. Teach me. I'm willing to learn. I'll figure it out. I'll ask questions. I'll be humbled. I don't care. I'll put in extra hours. I'll go beyond and above whatever you need. I learned and they started getting me involved in everything. Everything. When we moved back to Vegas, they let me stay on and work for them 100% remotely. I thought my career was over with them. Ryan's job wasn't working out in LA. God was closing that door wide, closing it pretty slam shut. And I thought, my career is over, bummer. And they said, oh, absolutely not. You're staying on. You're working remote. Remote wasn't offered to many people, but the skills I had learned from doing anything they asked became invaluable in my career with them. You don't recognize all the skills you are learning in the moment, but say yes, learn all you can. The best part too, Pepperdine is a Christian university. Bible verses are sent to my inbox all week. The school's president has a monthly online briefing, and it starts with a Bible devotion. We lived in LA for 2.5 years, and I have been with the university now 5 years in August. And that's cool, you guys are doing Christine Kane's Bible study. Her daughter attends Pepperdine. So she comes sometimes too to the campus to speak for us. I still fly down to LA a few times a year to be a part of the training and events and say hi to our old department. But just that window of time to make the connections and to develop the skills I needed, and I absolutely love the job. He has good plans for us, amen. My boss even listens to my messages. She says, oh, I don't know much about Habakkuk. Send me that recording. And then they said, oh, did you guys have a good Easter? I said, yeah, I had a surprise. I spoke. She goes, oh, send me the message. I want to hear. So it's great. So let's dive deeper into Habakkuk, shall we? Okay, the revelation of God's love. The revelation of God's love for the righteous. God's love for the righteous provoked a Habakkuk in provoked in Habakkuk a prophetic hymn of praise. So the revelation of God's love for the righteous, don't you love that? To reveal to your heart, he loves the righteous. He loves the righteous. When so many people are doom and gloom and scared, fear, he loves us. He has good plans for us. The love for the righteous provoked in Habakkuk a prophetic hymn of praise. Don't let fear out of your mouth all the time. I talk to people, all they spew is fear. Oh, it's so scary. I'm so scared. I'm so fear. There's a spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of faith. A hymn of praise came out of Habakkuk, and he was facing real situation too. God will see the righteous through. Habakkuk learns after his questions and answers from God that evil doesn't prosper in the long run. And isn't that the goal? To prosper in the long run? I want to prosper in the long run. We talked in part one about how waiting is a part of it and the timing of the Lord's. He wrote on tablets. The messengers had to run with it and share with the whole tribe. And that alone could take a while. There is waiting, but at least God warned him. The Lord's words in Habakkuk 2 verse 3, but these things I plan won't happen right away. If it seems slow, wait patiently, for it surely will take place. It will not be delayed. The Lord's words in Habakkuk 2 verse 9 and 10, woe to him who builds his realm by unjust gain. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. These are God's words. Woe to you who build your house on unjust gains. You have plotted the ruin of many peoples, shaming your house and forfeiting your life. Doesn't it seem like people gain unjustly? They lie, they cheat, they steal. But God is so big on honesty and integrity, isn't he? There is punishment for the unrighteous. When you plot the ruin of people, you will forfeit your life. Small gains come with enormous losses. You might think, I'm just getting a little bit. Enormous losses are ahead. Evil doesn't prosper in the long run. Habakkuk 2 verse 16, you will be filled with shame instead of glory. Again, God's words. You will be filled with shame instead of glory. Today, this week in 2024, you are going to be filled with something. Think about if you could take an inventory. If we could dump you out, what would you be filled with? A lot of fear, anxiety, depression, bitterness, anger, peace, joy. What would we, if we could shake you like a salt shaker, what could come out? Greed, lust, anger, apathy, stress of the world, hopelessness, bitterness. Or is it character? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it hope? Is it knowledge? Is it patience? Is it faith? Is it wisdom? Is it his glory? Is it more mercy? Is it power? Is it forgiveness? Is it grace? Is it love? I want his glory. And he says, you will be filled with shame instead of glory. I want his glory, don't you? I want the joy and the faith that Habakkuk had, even facing a tough situation. What do you want to be filled with this year? It's a good question. More TV shows? More stress. I'm really glad the Golden Knights, I mean, I'm sad they lost last night, but I'm like, if this goes into double overtime, we're pushing midnight, and I got to get up early. So I was like, oh, good, they lost in the last 3 minutes of overtime. Sad they lost, but I'd rather just let's end it. But do we want more TV shows this year? I love sports. I love fun. But what do I want to be filled more of? More stress? What do you want more of this year? It's a good question. Doesn't glory sound to be better to be filled with than shame? You will be filled with shame instead of glory. I love that those are the opposites here. Isn't peace so valuable? Regardless of what's happening, trust. I'm driving Ryan's car, and he has this sensor going off that says the tire pressure, and I dropped my daughter off at work this morning. It was a last-minute switch. I'm like, all right, I'm mother of the year. I'm going to drop her off. I'm going to drive to Overton. So his light went on. Fear got in my heart. I'm driving in the middle of the desert. The light is going on. Is it really the light? Is it the sensor? When I dropped Kylie off, you know, my tire was kind of wobbly. Maybe I hit something. We are notorious for hitting everything. We get flat tires all the time. So I'm like, the fear. And I'm like, absolutely not. So be it. If my tire's flat, one fine gentleman at this church will help me put the spare on. But I'm not going to live in fear. And the light went off. I'm like, good. It's just the sensor malfunctioning again. But fear can get inside you so quickly. Just a tire pressure tried to get me this morning. And I'm like, nope, putting the worship music on. I'm not going to hear the flat tire. But you just can make a choice. Fear or faith? Fear or trust? Not being stupid. We definitely get the tire checked. But all that to say, it can get you in the smallest moment. Fear, as I'm driving here, and I'm like, oh no, that's not for me. You can have peace, and it's so valuable. Regardless of what's happening, trust. So valuable, isn't it? For part one, I handed out mustard seeds in a glass jar. Some of you have told me where you put them, on your nightstand. Mine's still in my kitchen. Well, my sister sent me a picture. I gave her one as well. She listens to my messages. She lives in Illinois. And she takes her mustard seeds wherever she goes. She texted me this on March 20th, and she said, my mustard seeds go with me everywhere, and they're in her purse. And I just loved it. I'm like, Anne, that's such a cute likes. Thank you for sharing that picture, because everywhere she goes, she's carrying her mustard seeds. And my sister's taking like really heavy situations right now. She's a pastor's wife. She has family issues. There's things in her life that are heavy. And she said, those mustard seeds have built my faith, because that's all I have right now. And my trust is in God. And I was just so encouraged, because her faith is in God and she's taking them wherever she goes. So I just wanted to share that, because in all situations, I just have faith as small as a mustard seed. Maybe as small as a mustard seed, God, grow my faith, grow my faith. And we talked about it in part one, so there's just a little extra. That was just cute to see. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now think about that. I love this book because it's very visual, lots of visuals. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That is such a great verse. So great that I have a clip to share. I put on a podcast. I like to listen. If I have laundry, I go, let me learn. Let me put a podcast on. And guess who is talking about Habakkuk 2, verse 14? Are we able to share? Oh, yeah.
And I love what the Bible talks about in Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 14, God gives us this prophecy, for the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The waters cover the entire sea, and God's glory is going to cover the entire earth, and it starts with you, and it starts with me.
Okay, so I'm reading Habakkuk, and I'm like, let me put a podcast on. And I'm like, this is crazy. Who is talking about Habakkuk at the exact time? So there are 23,145 verses in the Old Testament. 23,145 verses in the Old Testament, and almost 8,000 verses in the New Testament. There are 7,957 verses in the New Testament. That is 31,102 verses. And he just quoted the exact one I was reading. I'm like, what are the odds? What are the odds? These things happen to me. I just have to share them because they trip me out. And I'm like, of course, of course. So who's talking about Habakkuk at the same time. I was reading it, great Pastor Gregory Dickow, he's in Illinois. I never get tired of this stuff, so look at those odds. Pretty cool, I had to share it. Again, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea, just like he just said. Habakkuk 2, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. This is, again, the Lord saying this. The world is so noisy, isn't it? Can you imagine the entire earth silent before God? No crying, no wailing, no laughing, singing, yelling, just pure silence. Silence. Everyone and anyone under the authority of the Lord's. What control? The whole earth is silent before him. I used to play the quiet contest when I taught in classrooms in second grade. It was so heavenly. We're going to play the quiet contest. And not a word out of 33 second graders for a few minutes. It was literally peace. It was lovely. I taught the kids' church here a few weeks ago, 2 weeks in a row. And we talked about listening, how Samuel had to say, yes, God, I'm listening. So we talked about how what 30 seconds of quiet sounds like. We heard clocks ticking back there. We heard little snickers. We talked about how at an amusement park, what do you hear versus at the beach? It's amazing when you're quiet. What am I listening to? Are we quiet? The whole earth will be silent before him. Like he said, yes, your servant is listening. Just like Jessica, she listened and she literally saved a baby. It's amazing what we can do by just listening. We don't listen enough, do we? Habakkuk 2, verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the earth be silent before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. He's very much alive, not like the idols made from wood. Our king is seated. He's not frantically pacing. He's not anxious. He's not nervous. He's not unsettled. He's not scared. He's steady. He's secure. He's alive. I love that it says that. He's in his holy temple. He's seated. God disciplines in love to bring his children back to him. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. I'm going to read it. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. And you have entirely forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you, his children. It said, And have you entirely forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you, his children? Have you ever forgotten what people say? Yeah, I forget too. Have you forgotten the encouraging words that God spoke to you, his children? He said, my children, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes those he accepts as his children. Embrace the discipline, the correction, the lessons, the heart surgery. We all need deliverance. Each of us have something we need to be delivered from. The sin that so easily entangles us, doesn't it? I love that it says the word of encouragement. Be encouraged when you are disciplined. I wish my kids responded like that. Thanks for this discipline. I'm really encouraged by it. It's usually not our first thought, is it? I wish they would, but we don't. We don't want to be disciplined. We fight it. Thank you for disciplining me. My daughter asked me recently if I was sheltered. She's like, Mom, are you sheltered? I said, yes, sheltered by the Most High God, Kylie. God has never let me stray too far. He corrects me and he brings me right back. I run to his shelter. I want to always be under that covering. We are sealed by God. Let his words be sealed inside our hearts today, in our minds, in the soil of our faith. That's what this prophet had to cling to. Habakkuk knew God's people had sinned and they would experience God's judgment. Habakkuk says, renew them in our day, in wrath and in judgment. Please remember mercy. Ryan had a message on February 4th, the year of renewal. Renewal is always good. Going back to what was good. People renew their vows, their commitments, another fresh start. Definition of renewal: an instance of resuming an activity or state after an interruption. Pastor Brian Houston said, In your marriage, you said, I do, not I did. That motivation is to be continual, renewal, right? Habakkuk uses chapter 3 to write and sing of the wonders of God's provisions and power in the past. I remember your deeds. I stand in awe. Habakkuk 3 is remembering God's power displayed when he rescued his people out of Egypt. And how remarkable that was. When he parted the sea, he was commanding his weapons of power. You came out to deliver your people. The same God would come again in all his glory to save the righteous of Judah in this time of deep need, Habakkuk says. Habakkuk 3, verse 2, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. May that be our prayer this week. I stand in awe of your deeds. I've heard of your fame. I've heard of your fame, Lord. So I want to ask you, when was the last time you stood in awe? New babies, new pets, artwork, a miracle. You stood in awe in your life, maybe in your life, in a friend's life. I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. It changes our perspectives, doesn't it? He was building his faith by remembering. But Habakkuk knows it's not going to be pleasant. Two excellent verses make this prophet an absolute all-star in my book. Habakkuk 3:17 and 9 through 19, maybe one of the best verses I've read ever. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 through 19. Even though, again, more imagery, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the oil crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will bring me safely over the mountains and sure-footed as a deer. Habakkuk's praise was not based on his surroundings. Clearly, they were terrible. But his faith in his God to sustain him. Even though this is rough, even though this is hard, his faith over the physical, the joy has to come from within. It has to come from within. A determined attitude to embrace. The joy has to come from within. I will be joyful. I will be joyful. He served God not for what he gave, but because he was God. He's honest in this time of our deep need. Viktor Frankl, a Holocaust survivor, said, between stimulus and response, there is space. Between stimulus and response, there's always space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. You are free to choose how you're going to respond today. Habakkuk knew the righteous would be saved. This judgment wasn't towards them, but those in Judah who were doing evil. He ends chapter 3 knowing suffering will not be escaped, but endured with grace and mercy and perseverance. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, just wow. He served God not for what he gave, but because he was God. He knew that God would keep the righteous remnant from Babylonians' invasion. We're closing. He proclaimed with confidence, from questions to confidence, the ultimate victory of all who live by faith. When you see Paul's words in Galatians and Hebrews and Romans, Habakkuk wrote this on tablets just like Moses, and he waited intentionally, determined to hear from God with the right heart, listening for God's replies. Writing down things is so important. It's actually God's idea. It can slip from our memory, but it can't slip from tablets. It can't slip from paper. Write things down. It's so valuable. Listen to this. God wasn't destroying Judah. He was refining it. He was refining it. Listen to this. The tribe of Judah settled in the region south of Jerusalem, and in time, remember there's waiting, and in time, it became the most powerful and the most important tribe. Not only did it produce the great kings David and Solomon, but also it was prophesied the Messiah would come from among its members. A remnant is all that was needed. Were they annihilated? No. They were actually refined, and the all-stars came from Judah. They weren't destroyed. Even though I will praise you, even though you write the story, God, I will trust you. You are a good God, and you have great plans. Those are great plans. Jesus, Solomon, David came from Habakkuk's line. Faith as small as a mustard seed. He could have just given up. All right, God, we're done. No, they had legends coming out of this tribe. The righteous will live by their faith. Habakkuk wrote that. God stills you. He reassures you. He leads you. He enlightens you. He forgives you. He calms you. He encourages you. He comforts you. And guess what? God is the best distraction from what's bothering you. The best. You saw Habakkuk was bothered. He got distracted. God, this is terrible, but you are good. What's stressing you out? Just get your eyes on something else. Don't let something else be your distraction. So closing, facts. This happened to me. It's okay to have truth. Facts. This happened to me. This happened to Habakkuk and Judah. Honest, not sugar-coated, truth. This happened to me. The impact. What did it do to you? What did it do to you? Well, they suffered greatly, as you read. They had nothing to eat. Nothing was growing. Barren. They suffered greatly in judgment. They had just judgment. Their land was barren. But the track, where did it take you? Isn't that the most important part? Where did it take you? They came out stronger, refined, and the line of the first kings and Jesus. The righteous will live by faith. Habakkuk was so worth a part two, don't you think? It was a lot to squeeze into part one. So I said, all right, I'm going to slow it down. I'll give a part two. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for these three amazing faith-filled chapters in your holy book. God, let us be encouraged and refined today. In the powerful, holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, give us this year to embrace greater miracles, greater faith, less fear. Bless each and every single person listening, every single person here, God. Your book of Habakkuk builds our faith. You do have good plans for the righteous. You prove it over and over again. God, let us not forget your incredible power. Let us not forget your deeds of greatness. The King of the universe has great plans for each of us. You've already showed yourself faithful time and again. Thank you for your correction and your direction, God. Use our lives today, this week, for good purposes. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Let's give today, let's give like five hugs to people. Let's embrace. And we love you guys and Habakkuk. All right, let's have some fun. God bless you.